Turn with me, if you would please, in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Those verses we'll look at this morning as we continue our study through Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Let us hear God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edification of itself in love. So ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. Lord, we come now to your word, and we ask you to bring your word to our hearts. Send your Holy Spirit that we might hear your word, not just with our ears, but with our hearts. We lift this up to you and ask you, for we know that apart from your work, nothing will be accomplished. So we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, whenever someone builds a house or maybe puts on an addition to the house or builds something, you always normally have a blueprint. So you know what to do. And you'll have different people that will come if you're building a house. You'll want people that are gifted in different things. Some, you might have an electrician, someone that's good at that. But the electrician may not be good at plumbing, so you need a plumber. So you need to get that finished. And maybe a landscaper. And there's different people that do different things to make it happen, to have this home finished or whatever it is and complete. Well, here in these verses, I believe that the Lord gives to us some points about how he grows his people, how the Lord grows his people. And I think as we look at these verses, we'll be able to see the importance of each person in the body of Christ. Each person is a Christian contributing to all things. There are three things I'd like you to look at with me this morning. First of all, he grows his people by giving gifts to his people in verses 11 and 12, by ministering through his people in verses 13 through 15, and by strengthening his people in verse 16. So let's go back to verses 11 through 12 and consider how the Lord grows his people. First, by giving gifts to his people. The first thing I'd like you to notice is the diversity of gifts. Notice it says, and he gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, you see a list of different gifts. But I think there can also be other gifts that are not listed there, things that the Lord enables you to do in his church, who enables you to minister to others. You'll notice, first of all, that the diversity of gifts, it's the Lord himself who gives gifts to his people. We don't get them ourselves. We don't get to choose what gifts we want. He gives them to us, but he gives them to us knowing how we will be in carrying out the responsibility he gives to us. Now, this is actually very emphatic in the original language where it says, he himself. It's like, he himself does this. And it's interesting to notice that he lists some of the gifts there, that are just basically gifts of teaching, being a pastor, the apostles. And the apostles, that gift has gone. We have no more apostles. We have no more prophets. But we have evangelists and we have pastor teachers. Now that word itself is one word, pastor teacher. It refers to the same person. God gives these gifts to help develop God's people so that you can minister to one another. You need these gifts. And you notice he says he does it for the equipping of the saints. For the equipping. The word equipping means to completely finish, to fit, to bring down something that is completely fitted and perfect. That's what our goal is with the gifts he's given to us, to use these gifts, to be able to work in different ways and different responsibilities using our gifts. And you'll notice it says, for the work of the ministry. Well, it's interesting. That word means for a purpose. He gives us these gifts for the purpose of working, purpose of the working of the ministry. That's why he gives his gifts. What gifts has the Lord given to you? Is there something you need to develop? That's where the elders of a church come in. Maybe there's something you want to do and you don't know how to go about doing it. Or you need help in learning how to do it. If God has laid something on your heart, well, that's the responsibility of the elders to help you. So if you think you have a desire and maybe a gift in some area, come talk to us. Maybe we can help getting information, giving some teaching to do that. But there are diversity of gifts. We all have different gifts. And you see, the Lord does this to keep us humble. You see that? Because we need the ministry of each other. Christians are not an island. Christians don't say, oh, I don't need anyone. We do. We need each other's gifts. That's why the Lord gave diversity of gifts. And it keeps us humble. There's no one that has all the gifts. We have different gifts. Look at Romans 12, verses 3 through 5 for a moment. Romans chapter 12. Verses 3 through 5. Listen to what it tells us about gifts. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. See what he says? Don't think more highly of yourself. You need others as well. You exercise your gift, which ministers to others, which others need, as well as you need gifts. You need ministering too by the people of God. So he gives these different gifts to us. The diversity, different ones, all kinds of different gifts. And not everybody has all the same gifts. So that's important to realize we're different. And that's one of the ways that the Lord grows his people, by giving gifts to his people. Secondly, as we looked at the diversity of your gifts, notice the purpose of the gifts, of your gifts. The purpose of your gifts. Notice it says, for the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, there were some old translations that translate this wrong and put a comma after the word saints. For the equipping of the saints, comma. For the work of the ministry, comma. For the edifying of the body of Christ. When you put those commas in, it makes it sound like the pastors and evangelist elders, that they just do the work of the ministry. They equip the saints, but they do the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. But there's no comma there. There shouldn't be any. Actually, in the original language, there's no commas. It's all capital letters. There's no paragraphs. It's all written in one form. So, the purpose of your gift is for the work of the ministry. Now, it may not be in this church building or with these people, but it may be a ministry outside the church with other people doing certain things. God wants us to think about opportunities, to think about things, what we might be able to do. But notice it's the same Spirit, but He gives different gifts. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. Notice it says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as He wills. You see, it's the Spirit that gives the gifts as He wills. Sometimes gifts have to be developed. Sometimes it's just very obvious what someone does. But they're different. They're different gifts. And they're important. We all need them. But the Lord gives them to us as He wills. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. Now, this can be translated as it is in most texts, but the word you are can either be a command or it can be in the present tense. In other words, it could be a command, or it can be just talking about something you should be doing. So it says, but earnestly desire the best, or let's say the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. I believe it should be translated this way. And again, I'm not alone in this, but not everybody agrees. But I think it should be, you are earnestly desiring the showy gifts, the important gifts, the gifts that everybody sees, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And then he goes on to talk about love and how important that is. Now, the reason I interpreted that way is because in chapter 12, verse 11 in 1 Corinthians, which we read, it says that the Spirit gives gifts as He wills. So I believe 1 Corinthians 12, 31, we cannot say earnestly desire or to seek after a gift when the Spirit gives the gifts. We need to understand love and not everybody, you know, people that think they have to have the gifts that everyone sees, maybe teaching or preaching or whatever it is to be some kind of outward gift. But we need people who pray. We need people who have hospitality. We need people who have different gifts, caring, praying. All these different things, we need them. And you know, harmony is a beautiful thing. It really is. If you go and you hear people sing in a large group, we did that at Presbytery. Actually, we didn't have a piano player, so we sang an a cappella. It was enough of us that the harmony was beautiful. Well, this is how gifts are to be used in God's church. They're to be used with one another, but there's to be harmony. Well, we use our gifts, we receive the others' gifts ministering to us, and there's harmony. I don't use the word unity because I think we have all different gifts, but we blend together in harmony with one another in using the gifts. The third thing I'd like you to notice, well, by giving us gifts to His people, the effectiveness of your gift. The effectiveness of your gift. Notice it says, the edifying of the body in the third part of verse 12. You see, by the edifying of the body, this is the reason the Lord gives you gifts and He lays upon His people the responsibility to grow His church, to grow His people by ministering to each other. And He keeps us humble because we don't have all the gifts and we need one another. You and your gifts are needed for the edifying of the body. You see how important that is? How important you are in the body of Christ. The word equipping means to perfect, to make perfect. That's what we do. We use our gifts. And because they're Spirit-given, There's effectiveness in it. He calls it perfecting the use. So that's what we see here in the third part of verse 12. And edifying means to strengthen or build up. To strengthen or build up. Now, that's so important that we keep doing this, that we keep ministering to God's people, do it, or we won't be built up. I work with someone who's was a very avid weightlifter, and he was very, you know, had big arms and so on, really looked buffed up and everything. But what happened was he stopped working out. He stopped doing those things, and it all went away. And, you know, I was talking to him. He said, yeah, it all went away. You see, if we don't use our gifts, we don't have the harmony, and we don't strengthen one another and build up one another. But God gives us gifts as he wants us to have. Exodus chapter 31 and 35, the Lord gave gifts to differing people to build a tabernacle. That's what he did. There's an example in the Old Testament. He gave gifts. He laid upon the heart people the ability to do, people who he created had gifts to do certain things. So that's the effectiveness of a gift. That's what it's all about. That's why what the Lord gives to us and what we are to do. We are to be effective by the Holy Spirit, not by us. It's the Spirit's work. The second thing I'd like you to notice, how the Lord grows his people, is by ministering through his people. By ministering through his people. He expands on this idea of gifts in verses 13 through 15. So he talks about ministering through his people. The first thing I'd like you to notice is the goal of your ministry in verse 13. You see what he says? Come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see that? You see all those things listed in that verse? They all have to do with the fruit of God's people working together. The goal is to do this. This is what our aim is. Now, we're not perfect, but there should be this existing. This should be going on. Here's what the Lord wants to accomplish through your gifts. Unity, knowledge, maturity, growth. This is what we should work toward in our own little part of the big garden of this world. We have a little place where God has put us to work for him. And the word perfect man means complete or mature. Doesn't necessarily mean that he never does anything wrong. It just means that there's maturity. And the stature, that word means full maturity, very similar, but full maturity. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:58 for a moment. 1 Corinthians 15:58. The scripture says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now that's important to know. We are always to be working, using our gifts, ministering to God's people, however we can. But we have to understand that sometimes people forget what we do. That you do something very important or you really give of yourself, people don't appreciate it. People act like it's no big deal. But you see, the Lord, he's the one. He's the one we're working for. Be steadfast in your labor. It's not in vain. Book of Hebrews 6, it says, the Lord never forgets what we do in his name. See how important that is? The Lord never forgets. Others do. You probably do too. I think one of the things that will happen when we get into eternity is that the Lord will tell us what we have done for him. And I think many of us will say, I really don't remember that. I don't remember that either. I don't remember this. But the Lord never forgets. He never forgets what you do. Sometimes they're problems in ministry because some people are too proud to admit that they need the ministry of others, or they think they are right about everything and don't need any help from others. We do. We need each other. And that's a wrong attitude to have. We need each other's gifts, and we will be lacking if they're not used. The second thing I'd like you to notice by ministering through his people is the importance of your ministry. The importance of your ministry. Notice it says that you should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. The importance. No longer. This shouldn't be happening. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't listen to other people. Listen to the truth. Minister to others the truth. Have them minister to you with their gifts. The whole purpose is that we're no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. I knew someone, know someone that their position on everything would change when they read a book, a new book. Okay, they believe now in this. Then they read another book. Now they don't believe in it. They read another book. They don't believe in that either. Something completely different. But every book they receive as being the truth or the right one. And that's not proper. We need the scriptures, the truth of God's word. And that's the importance of our ministry. We work for what we work for that, to bring forth God's word, God's teaching. It's very interesting. Let's look at a few of the words here that are used in verse 14. The word children that's used means infants, unable to speak. See that? That we should no longer be children. So confused, we can't speak. We don't know. We are to grow. That's not what we're supposed to be. And then it talks about being tossed to and fro. And it means being tossed by the waves. It means being unsettling of the mind. The condition of the mind is not settled. It's agitated by false teachers and immaturity that lacks conviction of truth. That's what it means to be tossed. No conviction. Constantly changing. That's not what we're supposed to be. And our gifts are supposed to change that. Talks about the trickery. The trickery of men. You see that? The word trickery means dice playing. Sly. Deception. That's what's in mind there. Deception. Sly. Crafty. Like the evil one does. When he destroys things. When he causes problems. He's sly. He's evil. The word craftiness. Word, that means unethical, evil things. That's what he calls them. Craftiness. And deceitful plotting is a word which means a careful, evil, deceptive way of doing things. We're not to have that. That's not to be the case. God's truth is what we stand on. Look at John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32 for a moment. John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, there were some that did, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He's talking to them. Be of the same mind. Know my truth. It'll set you free. It's important that you stay united in the truth of Scripture. Working together. I'll never forget what I saw either maybe a year and a half ago, a video that was sent to me. There was a group of men, hundreds of them, that went to an Amish farm and were able to pick up a barn without taking it apart and carry it to a new location. They had boards and stuff coming out underneath where it was, And there were just Amish men everywhere picking this thing up. But it was interesting. You see that when they all did it, worked together, they picked up this barn, this big barn, and they moved it somewhere else. Now, it was a slow move, but they moved it. That's because they worked together. Really something to see. But they all did their part. That's what's involved here. That's why your ministry is important. Because you need you. We need you to do your part. Third thing, the expectation of your ministry in verse 15. The expectation of your ministry. Grow up in all things. See that? That we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head. That's what we are to do. Now, it's interesting. It says here, speaking the truth in love. Well, it's not really to be translated speaking because of the way it's written in the original language. It's better translated truthing it in love. Whatever you do, whether you say it, whether you live it, whether you're with people, whether you're on vacation, when you're with friends, truth it. Everything you do is to be governed by truth. All of life. And always remember to reflect truth in what you do. Doing this will result in growth of others and yourself. Grow your faith, truthing it in love. Look at 2 Peter 3:18 for a moment. 2 Peter 3:18. Notice it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. You remember maybe when you were younger or you've been around some young people and should know better and someone says to them, oh, just grow up. Grow up, will you? Well, what are we really saying? We're saying, look at things. Have the knowledge that is necessary and apply the knowledge so you, in reality, that's what's involved. He's saying, grow up. Grow up through the ministry of God's people in the faith. We need each other to do it, to help us grow up. That's what we are to do. The Lord grows his people by ministering through his people. Then lastly and thirdly, in verse 16, the Lord grows his people by strengthening his people. By strengthening his people. Notice, first of all, the importance of your gift here. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. You see how important it is? Everyone does their part. We're all important. Don't ever say you can't do something or you're not important. Don't say that. It's not true. You are important. You have gifts. And we don't want to deny what the scripture is telling us to do. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 through 7 for a moment. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7. Beginning of verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12, says, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activity, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Do you see how important you are as a child of God to do and to work? To minister to people in the church or people outside the church, in evangelism or whatever. You see how important it is. The Lord's given you the gift for the well-being of all, for everyone's well-being. Secondly, notice the contribution of your gift. Contribution of your gift. It says every part does its share. Every part. Every part does it. In fact, the Lord has given gifts that makes them effective. Your gift is effective not because of you, but because of what the Lord does through you by his gifts. You contribute, you give to the people of God. And we are to remain humble. And he does that by, remember as what I said, by showing us that we need each other. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Notice it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. If you're a person that thinks you don't need anyone else, it's saying to you, humble yourself. You do. Don't be proud. Don't be arrogant. You know, and I've had several surgeries in my lifetime, and it's very interesting when you get there and they're ready to perform surgery on you. It's not just the doctor that's there, but there's a staff, an anesthesiologist, some probably registered nurses that are helping, and the doctor, and they're all working together. They do their part. They work as one, as a team. And that's what God's people are, to be a team, to work together. The last thing, the effect of your gifts. The edifying of itself in love. You see that? Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Hear what he's saying here? You, through your gifts, causes growth to the body. Isn't that amazing? That the Lord would choose people like you and me to cause growth of his church and his people. Your part is very important. And that's what your gifts will do. Edifying the body of Christ in love. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 through 24. As we hear instructions here about serving the Lord and using the gifts he's given to us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 through 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the living Christ. See that? Whatever it is, do it heartily. Don't do it as unto men. Don't do it to expect something in return. Do it as unto the Lord. And then when you do it that way, if people don't receive you or it's a negative response or whatever, it doesn't matter because you did it unto the Lord. You did what he wanted you to do. Use your gifts. This is so important. Isn't it amazing that the Lord would use his redeemed people to grow his people and his church? There may be something important you have done, or maybe you are doing. Maybe you say to yourself, I want to get this done, this project. I want it done right, so I'm going to do it myself. Now, I've said that in the past, and I've tried that, and it doesn't work. I've really messed up things because I don't have talents in certain areas. But in reality, we need each other. Growing God's people and his church is very important. Why does he use you and me? Well, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 7 tells you that he himself dwells in you. So he is doing it through you. The Lord himself actually grows his church through you and me. Isn't that amazing that he would use you and me? But it's true. The Lord himself grows his church through people like you and like me. Oh Lord, bless your word to our hearts. We pray that you will help us to understand how important the use of our gifts are. Lord, we may be doing things already and we're not aware that we're using spiritual gifts. But Lord, you work through us and we thank you for that. Bless this word to our heart, O Lord, and strengthen us to be used by you to grow your people. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.